You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, Lyric Waiwiri-Smith from the Tuesday Wire spoke to Shanil Lal yesterday about a protest that took place on Saturday night, which saw hundreds of Aucklanders flock to Karangahape Road to fight for inclusivity and safe spaces. They discussed the need for centred trans rights and the difficulty of maintaining LGBT-focused spaces and Aotearoa's long history of homophobia. So here's the conversation that they had.
So there was a protest last Saturday night on K Road with what looked like well over probably 200 people. Can you run us through what that was all about?
Well, long story short, there are no spaces in the nighttime that are safe for and welcoming of queer people in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. And when I say safe, I mean there are no spaces where queer people are free from transphobia and racism and things like unwanted touching. There have been spaces in the past that we can no longer go to because these spaces have had DJs that have been accused of sexual assault or have investigations of date rape into them. So these spaces have become incredibly inaccessible to us in the sense that they are very dangerous for us to go to. What we have seen is that there have been complaints of transphobia and sexism and racism against places there where we could go. And an example that I could give you is that trans women have reported that the managers of these places are referring to them not by their pronouns, but calling them that thing.
When we think about safe spaces, trans POC are often the people who get shoved to the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we know that all minorities deserve to have a space specifically for them because, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in this world who have a lot of anger towards them. But there's also a trend where once you've established an LGBT safe space, a number of straight women also come to these places because they need to feel safe, and then the straight men figure out where the women are going, and then they go, and it's no longer an LGBT-oriented space. So what does the ideal safe space look like and feel like where we're still prioritizing everyone most at risk?
I think when you come into any space, the first thing that you should do is check your privilege and assess where you stand in the community. What we have seen is that cisgender straight women, but particularly men, have encroached queer spaces. In typical white man fashion, they come into our spaces and claim it to be theirs, and they assert their dominance by abuse of their physical strength. So they touch people when they don't want to be touched. There's instances of transphobia and sexism and racism, of course. So I think ideally, and this is to protect our well-being and our physical safety, we can't have these straight men just walking into our spaces, because we have seen that time after time when they do, it does not go down well. And we have had many incidents of this. So currently what the queer community is looking at is a space for the most marginalized people, run by the most marginalized people. The community is kind of done begging for the crumbs of white men. And these are white men who do not care about marginalized queer people if they cannot exploit us for money. So we need our own space, and that is where the fundraising money will go. The final details of what that looks like is yet to be confirmed, but the queer community has said that there are some spaces that they can go to from time to time, such as the basement space, the Neck of Woods, etc. There are some others.
What do you say to people who will try to say, you're prejudiced towards me as a straight man, that I can't enter this space?
First of all, I think what people need to recognise is that homosexuality was actually a crime punishable by death in New Zealand. Then it was a crime punishable by life imprisonment. Actually, gay men have been convicted under this law and then released from prison where they have been beaten to death. So this has all happened in New Zealand. New Zealand also had a panic response where straight people, if they felt panicked by queer people, could kill us and they would have a defence. So I don't know what straight men are complaining about. Name a law that has ever discriminated against straight men. Name a law that has ever made white people criminals because they were white. Name a law that has taken away the rights of white men to vote just because they were white men, because I can name many laws in this country that are still discriminatory against Maori, Pacific people, queer people. But there is really no such thing as reverse racism. This is ridiculous. Straight white men have all of Karangahape Road. It is literally theirs. They have monopolized the area. So just stick to that. Stick to the multiple bars that they have, and rather than trying to enroach this one queer space that may be potentially created.
There was an RNZ article published last night where they talked to the owners of a bar at the centre of this and tried to minimise the damage of the situation, but there's been a lot of backlash from the protesters who spoke at and led the demonstration. Do you feel the article has kind of further diminished what you're trying to campaign for?
First things first, the article did not talk to the most marginalised people in the community. The article did not talk to the people that are directly affected. The problem with mainstream media in this country is that when something happens to marginalised people, they run to privileged people to get their opinion on how we should feel and what is real. The queer people that the media is talking to aren't trans people of colour. These are cis white gay men. And the people that were affected were actually on Twitter saying the article has gotten so many things wrong and that they weren't contacted to actually ensure the contents of the article were right. Let's get that out of the way. What I do think is that the queer community showing up on midnight on Saturday was a sign that the community is tired of fighting, but we still are. It's 2021 and very difficult to believe that we are still fighting just to be safe. It's quite ridiculous that queer people are being constantly set back in life because we are not safe. The time and energy that non-queer people get to spend investing in themselves, queer people are busy expending that energy and trying to be safe and alive. We need to move from this idea of surviving to thriving, because young queer people deserve to see happy queer adults, not queer adults that are struggling to be barely alive.
How did it feel being there on Saturday night, fighting something that should not be happening, but also being able to see all the people who are angry with you? Is it kind of hopeful?
Yes, I did acknowledge that I cannot believe that we were there at midnight, fighting just to be safe. It's frustrating. But as marginalised queer people, we recognise that if we don't fight for ourselves, no one else will. And if we don't stand up, the young people that are going to come after us are not going to have it any better. So we do what we do so future generations of young queer people will have it better and won't have to go through the same things. So it was not exactly empowering, but I did feel hopeful that some privileged folk were there standing in solidarity with the most marginalised people in the community.
And do you have any closing comments you would like to make?
I would say a call to action. There is a GoFundMe that people can donate to so queer people can have the resources to create something. If we don't have the money, we can't create anything. People won't give us a space for free. So if you can donate, donate. If you can't donate, share so other people may be able to donate.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.